Welcome back to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome, my podcast. I'm Shane Told. I'm the host. Week after week, I bring you my backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers of all genres. But today, we're going back to extreme metal, baby. One of the best, one of my favorites, always a good time, and a great band. New-ish, still on their first album cycle. They're called Of Sulfur. They hail from Las Vegas, Nevada, and they feature vocalist Ricky Hoover, formerly of Suffocate, a band that had a lot of hype back in the, I guess, kind of the MySpace era, which is crazy to think about. But he's back doing it, and this band is killing it. They're going on a huge tour, co-headlining with Mental Cruelty that starts in, well, by the time you're listening to this, probably like a week. And it's really, really exciting to have him on the show. I've wanted to have him on for a while because I think Of Sulfur is doing it better than everybody else in this genre. Absolutely fantastic band. So yes, stick around. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we do, some things I always say, just about every episode, I say like almost the same thing with almost the same wording. I guess like, what is this? 300 and I don't even know how many episodes. You know, I have to say the kind of the same things in the intro. So sometimes I like sort of repeat myself and use the same wording. So I'm like, maybe I should just actively fight against it, you know, but you can get in touch with me. I've said that before. You can hit me up. You can email me. Old school email, baby. We all still have it. You need it. You can't get rid of email. It's the one that I think will never go away. Hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com if you want to say hi. If you got suggestions for upcoming guests to the show, maybe you want more metal, let me know. And let me know who I should get. Yeah, hit me up on there. If you want to support the thing, we got a Patreon. It's called the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. For just a few bucks a month, it gets you in. It gets you bonus content. And it also helps me keep the lights on around here, keep the show going and growing every single week. Have I said that before? I'm not sure. The link though, you need the link. It's leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. It's that easy. Throw me a bone if you can. I do appreciate it. If not, don't worry about it. The show will always be free and will always be coming at you mostly week after week. What else? That's about it. I hope you like metal. Here it is. My conversation with Ricky Hoover of Sulfur. Yo, man, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect.
So
I can't see,
sorry.
But I can hear.
Yeah, I don't use the video, so it's just audio only. So you can turn it off. It's all good,
boom,
man. Yeah, dude, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. I was like so ready. I was like ready early for you, like, you know, like looking over my notes and everything's like going awesome. And I'm like, okay, cool. I got like 5 minutes. And then I'm like setting up. And I can't find the stupid fucking iPhone dongle, you know, like, you know, the like, cause I got the 15 now. So it's so it's a new dongle. It's like the USB-C dongle that connects to like, so I'm like, oh shit, where is that? So I'm looking everywhere for it. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. I don't know where it went. I can't find it. Then I'm looking for my headphones and I can't find my headphones. And then I realize that I fucking left my headphones and the dongle that was attached to them on the fucking airplane.
Oh shit.
I know. I'm fucking mad. So I'm not having the best morning of my life, but you know, I'm really happy to have you on the show anyway.
Yeah, I'm really really stoked to be on here, you know. I'm very excited about this. You know what I mean?
Well,
you guys are sick. as well. You know what I mean? So it's cool to meet you and hop on here, you know.
Hell
my
yeah.
wife as well is a massive fan.
I love it.
As well, I told her I was going to do your podcast and she like freaked out and I was like, I know, it's badass.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, I don't know if you know this, but we're neighbors. I live in Las Vegas too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea.
I'm just down in the south end of town. I assume you live in like Centennial Hills area. Am I right?
I'm actually in Summerlin.
Okay. Summerlin. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I remember my girlfriend used to work at a coffee shop up like in Centennial Hills area. And I guess a bunch of you guys came in to her coffee shop one day and you know, it's like one of those kind of hipster coffee shops. So I guess they don't get a lot of metal looking dudes in. So she was just like, oh, are you guys like in a band or something? And I don't remember who said it to her. And he was like, yeah, yeah. You know, we're just like a death metal band. She's like, okay. Okay. It's like a death metal band. So I was like, wait, what band was it? And then, I found out it was you guys. And I'm like, I fucking love that band. So, and I didn't even know you were from Las Vegas at the time. So,
yeah, I'm originally from California. My wife and I, and my son as well, because my son's mother is from out here. So she lives out here as well. So we moved out here so we could all kind of just be in the same area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, I love it. I love it here. And I mean, I think it's a great place to raise a family, which is like not what people think when they think of Las Vegas, but my sister lives here too. And she's raised, three kids.
Oh.
She's also in Summerlin. And what's funny is that my sister works at a library, which is like the least typical Las Vegas job ever, you know?
Yeah. That doesn't really scream Las Vegas. Yeah, I agree.
No, not at all.
Right on.
Not at all. And I know you were doing, barbering too out here.
Yep.
For a minute before of Sulfur took off. So I guess do you feel like a lost vegan now? Do you feel like you kind of have your roots here?
I mean, I've been here for 5 years now. You know, I'm, you know, it's funny cause I'm actually not the biggest fan of living out here.
Okay,
sad to say, it's just the weather. You know what I mean? I'm more of a cold person. I prefer cold. I prefer like, you know, rain and all that kind of stuff. But you know, the thing that's nice about here is, you know, this is where, you know, I started the band and stuff with my buddy Chase,
yep.
My guitar player and stuff. And so we have some friends out here, my wife and I, which is nice, you know, but I think, you know, eventually one day when my son and my daughter get older, we'll probably make the move. I'd like to move to like Maine. I really like Maine.
Cool. That's a lot different. It doesn't get more different than Las Vegas. That's for sure. Well, that's
yeah,
awesome,
that's
man.
True.
I mean, yeah. Congratulations first and foremost, just on this, just such an amazing start to a career. You know, you're still on your first album cycle right now. The Burden of Fate, your first album's almost a year old, I guess now.
Yeah.
And it's just been so awesome to see you guys kind of come out. You know, you had a long hiatus from music, and have you guys come together and just kind of like guns blazing, you came out swinging and you really took, you know, the, we'll just call it extreme metal, the extreme metal world by storm. And now, you know, you're gearing up for a big co-headlining tour that starts in a few weeks. It's just, you must just feel like over the moon with how well it's gone so far.
It's definitely a trip, you know. I kind of sit back and I'm just like, you know, a little bit blown away because I definitely didn't think the band I was in before, you know, like, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, was as known as it was, even though, you know, looking back, we were doing big things. And then I definitely didn't expect this band to do anything like this. So it's kind of just all been a shock, you know, and to come back and do it at an older age, it definitely gives you some perspective. So I'm just enjoying the ride and, you know, hoping it keeps going and, you know, enjoying it. So.
Oh, it will. It will for sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, your old band Suffocate definitely. Yeah. Massive kind of like cult following, I guess. But I know what you mean because I remember you guys being out on, I think it was Media Scare. You know, mm-hmm. not exactly mm-hmm. a huge metal label, but like in the underground, mm-hmm. a known label. And I think it was like maybe once you guys broke up, people kind of were like, oh shit, I missed this band. And maybe you kind of didn't get you know, you're due at the time. And then looking back, people were like, wait a second, this band was actually sick. And they were just kind of waiting for you, Ricky, to come back.
Yeah. I remember, I would always have people, writing me and stuff on, the social media stuff or whatever, asking me to come back to music. And at that point, I was just done with it and stuff. And, it was COVID. I wasn't able to work out here. Barbers weren't essential. So I just decided to make music and have fun and just kind of jam. And then, not intending for it to be anything. And it just took off and it ended up, now I have two careers that I have to balance, as well as, the family life and all that stuff, because I still cut hair on this when I'm home from tour.
Well, shit, I'm looking for a barber in Las Vegas. I've been through a couple shops. I found a pretty good one now. But the dude's never available. When I get a haircut, you better just book your next one now, because I'm like booked solid. I'm like, damn, dude. That doesn't always work for me with what I do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I might come and see you, Ricky.
Yeah, let me know.
Absolutely, I will. So I guess like having this long hiatus, just being away from the scene, were you still dialed into it, like just kind of as a fan of music? Like, did you keep in touch with friends in the scene? Because I guess really my question is, this shit moves so fast. Like, the way recording works, the way playing live works, and especially the way that you would promote a professional band, like social media and all that stuff. I mean, that must have really been weird to kind of come back and be like, wait, this is the way to do it now? Like, was that hard to navigate?
I mean, a bit, because when I quit my previous band before, I kind of, I was so burnt out on it, and on metal in general. And I still, had my mainstays, if you will, that I would always listen to and stuff. And, I have the Instagram, cause I use it for business as well. Right. But back when I was doing music, I hit up Suffocate through MySpace,
Right.
So it was definitely a bit different and stuff. And to see, how things go viral now, which is crazy, and TikTok, which is crazy, and all that kind of stuff. It was a little daunting at first to try to kind of, get in tune with how things work now. But thankfully, my manager, Brad, he's very good at helping and kind of showing you how to navigate through that stuff. He's very good, good at doing that kind of stuff.
He's the best. He's my buddy. We're both from Toronto. So, I love Brad. He's the man. Absolutely. I think that's really like, we can have a whole conversation about that and just how metal has changed. Like, it used to be such a mysterious genre, it was just, you'd buy your like extreme metal magazines, at least when I was a kid. I think you're a bit younger than me, and then you'd kind of like, you'd see the scary photos and you read the scary stuff they say, and then you listen to the scary music. And there was no like, you never, like the separation between like the person and their like day-to-day life, mm-hmm. and like what their persona was on stage. I think metal was like the most different. You know what I mean? Like, these were not regular people in the way that you thought of them, in terms of being in a band. I hope I'm like verbalizing this correctly, but that's changed so much. Like an extreme metal band, like you guys can have a TikTok account and it's not weird. It's kind of weird,
yeah.
But it's not, you know what I mean? You can do it. You can get away with this stuff. You can be more human. You can have more of a personality. You can kind of like, I don't know, you can joke around a little bit more. Which there was no way Cannibal Corpse was doing that when Tomb of the Mutilated came out. You know what I mean? And I love Corpse Grinder, and that dude's hilarious. And I love the way that Cannibal Corpse has like done stuff like that, when it's like they show Corpse Grinder going to Target or whatever. Like, I love that shit. But like, I feel like that's kind of cool for you guys now to have that a little more in your wheelhouse, and you don't have to be like super, super serious all the time, because that's not the reality of your life.
True. I mean, it's so weird, because back in the Suffocate days, I was the person who was 100% that band guy all the time. I was like, I never turned it off, if you will. I was always that pissed off, angry dude because, you know, I was younger and whatnot, and that's who I was on stage. But, you know, you get older, you mature, if you will, and nobody wants to live life like that, you know, angry, scary looking metal guy all the time, you know, like I'm vulnerable as hell with all of our fans because I think it helps them relate.
Yeah.
You know, to us and stuff. Cause I mean, that's how I like the people I look up to be. Cause I can feel like I'm just like them, you know? So I think everybody, whether you're in a band or a fan or on top of the stage or in front of it, you know, we're all on the same level. So any way we can, you know, kind of relate is good. And if being vulnerable or being a normal person, you know, does that, then I'm all for it. I mean, I'm a big dork on all my social media, man. I love it.
Yeah, no, I think that's like, that's a big thing now is like people, you need to be relatable, you know, and that's what people want to see. And it doesn't really matter the genre. So, you know, I think that's cool, but also like, you know, not to take away from the serious nature of what you're trying to say and do and of Sulfur, like, you know, obviously your band is, and your lyrics are super like anti-religious. You're really speaking out on, you know, on basically all organized religion, especially Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I know you have a background too, from growing up, you know, even as far as doing mission work in, you know, in Mexico and building houses, or churches or whatever you were building in, you know, and basically feeling that kind of abuse and, you know, how fucked up that whole thing is at an early age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a missions trip to Mexico to help rebuild an orphanage where some abuse was taking place by one kid who had been abused himself. So, you know, they all came in and or the, you know, the authorities, if you will, came in and saw the condition of the place, and we all went down there to rebuild it. And, you know, I worked really hard to get that place back with all the other people that did it. And the entire time I was just treated like just awful. You know what I mean? Even though I'm doing, quote, you know, the Lord's work or whatever, I have to shut up and do the work and not enjoy it kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And just being treated and spoken to such a way when I'm, you know, the mindset is we're here to do good and whatnot, but you know, you can't enjoy it and blah, 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 and all that. And just a lot of the stuff that was said to me, it just kind of really opened my eyes a bit to it and kind of made me want to investigate further into stuff. And I started reading more about it and learning the history of it and learning, you know, all the other, you know, theology and mythology and stuff, and just kind of opening up. And that's when my deconstruction kind of started, you know, to where I realized that, look, man, there's some issues with a lot of this stuff, and I got to really find what I want to believe in or not believe in and stuff, you know? So I'd say the way I was treated on that trip, in addition to, you know, some other things, as far as like seeing what was happening, kind of opened my eyes and stuff, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, what's interesting too, though, is, you know, you premiered a song on the Satanic Temple's website, you know, and for people, a lot of people that are just kind of like maybe the casual metal listener or like don't really know what the Satanic Temple is, like, it's not overly Satanist, like Satanist in like the way you think of it, like the rituals and like sure, there is some of the aspects of that, but like the devil worshiping stuff, you know what I mean? Like it's not like that. And I've been there, I've been to Salem, and you know, and you have a song about the witch trials too, which I thought was kind of fitting, you know, for the whole thing. But it seems like this is more like educated Satanism a little bit. Than just kind of like, okay, we're just going to put the imagery in the songs and like talk about things like something like maybe Slayer would do, which I don't even know what their religious beliefs were, you know, but it's like you're kind of more open to talking about it in sort of like a real sense, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
I mean, yeah, you know, devil worshiping and Satanism are completely different things. I don't think I've ever actually met a 100% quote, you know, devil worshiper or maybe one, you know, it's not like a thing like a lot of people think it is. I mean, there's even differing levels of what is true Satanism and, you know, this or that. And people can argue about the semantics of it all, you know, Levian Satanism, blah, 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 all this stuff. You know, a lot of that, I write about these kind of things, and I like to read about these things because I find them interesting. You know what I mean? And it's very it's very crazy to me that this belief system, this ideology, has kind of, you know, taken over so much in the short amount of time that it's been a thing, and kind of just the horrific things that have been carried out in its name and whatnot. And, you know, true Satanism to me, if you will, it's kind of just more like the Levian principles and stuff like that, you know, and I worship myself essentially, you know, sure. Yeah. And I don't think anybody's personal beliefs should interfere or, you know, try to infringe on anybody else's. And that's the problem with Abrahamic religion, as well as other religions, is that they think that, you know, do as I say only or die kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And people like to cherry pick phrases and things out of the Bible to try to, you know, justify why it's actually okay and this is not. But nobody reads the Bible as a whole and takes into account, you know, what the Bible is really saying, you know. And I in my spare time, I like to read the Bible, even though I don't believe in it. I've read some of the Quran, you know. I've read parts of the Torah, obviously, you know, with the Bible and whatnot as well. And it's not that I'm against the people, because I'm not that person. I'm against an ideology and an organized religion that wants to, you know, tell everybody else they're wrong and you know, That's not okay in my book. So I'm not technically a practicing Satanist, if you will, because that's a label I don't really like to use either. I do enjoy some of the principles of it, obviously, but
right.
A lot of that stuff is just because I find it interesting, and it also gets people talking. And that's what I really want to do. I want to get people talking so they can maybe, you know, read into it and look into it for themselves, instead of having this cult, you know, hive mind belief that, you know, because that person said it's true, or I have to do this, you know, we all have to, or we should die, basically. You know what I mean? If that made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes. And for people that are like wondering what we're talking about or confused, you can go to the satanictemple.com and you can read like the frequently asked questions that kind of explain how this is not devil worship. This is different. And it is not like about evil or anything like that. It's completely different. And sometimes I'm like, maybe this isn't the right, maybe they shouldn't have called it this exactly, because it's can be confusing. But it has been something for a long time, and I do think that there's a lot of good in it, personally.
Well, you know, I mean, so. The term Satan, it just means adversary, so people are going to use it as, I don't want to say a trigger word, but almost, you know what I mean? To kind of shock people into being like, okay, well, what's this about? What does this mean? And the whole point of it is, I don't know about the temple, Satanic temple, because like I said, there's a lot of different facets of it, right? There's a lot of different places, you know, and the whole point of it is to almost shock you into researching for yourself, in my opinion.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's the whole point. That's the reason we use this dark imagery, because what's going to catch your eye more, you know what I mean? It's like, and I don't want to compare it to movies, but, you know, essentially movies mimic life. So we often find ourselves kind of almost rooting for the bad guy a lot of times in some of these big grandiose movies, because they're the side that makes more sense, you know, like, you root for the Sith because the Jedi are a bunch of, you know, choir boys, essentially, who can't do anything. Or, you know what I mean? Or like Darth Vader looks way cooler than Yoda. You know, it's more relatable to me. Right. And I think to a lot of people, you know, like I said, it's movies, but still, you know, it's a lot more relatable and real, because, you know, nobody's perfect.
Right.
Right. And we're all full of our own shit and whatnot. And I just find it more interesting to look into the darker side of things, even though that's what's been deemed dark by you know, our societal construct, if you will, you know?
Yeah. 100%. So, let's talk about the music in the record. The Burden of Fate, it's been almost a year now. I remember this, listening to this when it came out on release date, and I was pretty blown away. That opening track, just, oh my God, Stain and Rot, like absolutely just a total banger. But I think listening through the record, what surprised me the most was it's such a complete album, especially for a debut record. I think it's like an amazing debut record, but a lot of clean singing, I think, more than I was expecting. And I think a lot of people felt the same way. And I really like that about it.
Thank you.
Obviously, I don't just only listen to deathcore too, right? I listen to a lot of different genres, but I know that that has been polarizing a little bit, you know, in the deathcore scene, and you guys are a huge part of it now, especially with all the tours you've done. What was the reaction from the fans on that record? I mean, you must have gotten some people being like, what the hell? Why are you singing so much? But you sound great. It's always like, but he sounds great. But why is he singing so much? You know,
there's entire Reddit threads dedicated to deathcore bands that quote suck now because they have clean singing, you know, and we're a big part of that, which is hilarious to me, you know. You know, we had an EP before The Burden of Faith, and you know, I had my other members sing on that EP, and you know, my guitar player Chase sings as well as I do, clean singing, and we go in, and they've all heard me mess around and sing when we've been doing stuff or whatever, you know. And I sang as a kid, I sang in choir and advanced choir and different languages and all that stuff, you know. I just never thought that that type of singing or the kind of singing that I can do would translate well into this music. And I went to the studio for The Burden of Faith with Morgoth, who produced it. And and I was like, I kind of want to sing this part, but I thought maybe I'll try to do it, quote, butt rocky, just to see what it sounds like. And we can go from there, but I don't know if I'll like it. And also I went into the studio with this idea that I didn't want to sing as much on this album because I thought it would, I don't want to say ruin us, but I thought it would almost pigeonhole us, you know?
Right.
And I sing this part out and he stops everything after and is like, what the hell was that? You know? And I was like, well, I just trying something out and blah, blah. He's like, no, not bad. We need to do more of this. He immediately calls our A&R, Mike Gitter, who freaks out, immediately calls the label. They hear it. They all freak out. And they're like, okay, so we need to do more of this because this is such an awesome addition to you guys.
Wow.
And you know, why didn't you tell us you could do that? And you know, being me, you know, I usually don't like anything I do. I usually hate all my vocals. I'm like, I didn't think anybody would like it and it would be good. And of course all my band guys are like, dude, we've been trying to get him to sing for years, you know? So then we kind of sit down and rewrite a whole bunch of stuff, you know, and my guitar player Chase, who always helps me with melodies and things like that, you know, he's like my go-to guy for that. He's very good at that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he comes out because it was in LA we're recording, and you know, the band's based in Vegas, and we just get to work, and we I think we only used about 40% of my lyrics because I tend to write over elaborate stuff, and we just changed melodies and we really worked it in. And I think the result is something more than I ever thought I could do. And I'm, you know, very proud of this album. And I think it kind of takes you on a journey, if you will, kind of through deconstruction, you know, and realizing the horrors of what, you know, this religion and religion as a whole has done. And you know, for me as well, it was almost like a, you know, like I said, I think the album takes the listener on the journey and stuff. The album recording kind of took me on a journey too, to being way more comfortable singing now.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
yeah.
And I think you're always going to have people who hate what you do. And I've kind of always said, it's almost better to be infamous than famous, you know, cause either way, both sides are talking about you. if you're infamous, you know, they find it real hard to let you go. You know what I mean? Whether they love you or hate you. So
interesting. Yeah.
And I love it. So,
yeah, no, I mean, it grabbed me right away though. And I think a lot of people feel the same, you know, especially just, I don't know, man, I can listen to I love metal. I always have, but like sometimes, man, I just want to hear something a little bit more melodic.
Oh yeah,
somewhere on a record, you know. Like, call me a poser, but I do, I do appreciate that. So working with Morgoth, I actually know Morgoth.
Nice.
I was just in his studio like last week, so I know Morgoth, and it's interesting because like he's the guy that plays guitar in Winds of Plague, but he also produces, like, he produced Juice WRLD.
Yep.
You know, he produced Machine Gun Kelly. Like, this is definitely a guy that, I mean, if you look at him, he's about as metal as a guy I've ever seen in terms of how he looks, too. He gets the metal genre, but then he has this other, like, brain. How much do you think that kind of factored into, like, this record being what it was?
Well, the whole point of this record, right? I told my band, my musicians, they told me as well, was to go and explore all avenues. We didn't, we've kind of always been that band that doesn't really want to have rules per se, right? You know, we want to just play music we enjoy. And if other people love it, awesome. And if they don't, then it's not the band for them. And I think Morgoth, you know, because we've always liked to write pop structure for all the music nerds out there, you know, because there's a science behind pop structure. It's very catchy.
Yeah.
You know, you double the amount of times you repeat something because your head only hears it half those times. You know what I mean? So you want to really nail it into to the person. And he was very helpful with, you know, I wrote all the lyrics, but he was very helpful with some of the phrasings and that really hook idea and the catchiness and stuff like that, as well as Chase, my guitar player too. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, cause I've never believed in the whole guilty pleasures music that people say, oh, what's your guilty pleasure? Blah, blah. I'm fully upfront about all the music I enjoy because I just like music, you know? I think that's where Morgoth and I really clicked because,
yeah,
you know, we had a conversation one time, which was really funny because I didn't get it at first, you know, and I was kind of almost like hard-headed about it. And I was like, some of this stuff just doesn't sound like music to me, man. I you know, maybe it's my old school way of thinking. And he's like, I get that. And there's been stuff that I've kind of been like that at too, but if there's someone somewhere who loves it, then it's music, you know, cause if it means something to someone somewhere, then, you know, it's not bad. Even if you think it's bad, it just doesn't click with you. It's still music. It's still art, and people still enjoy it. You know, there was something to that degree, and I kind of thought about that, and I was like, I really understand that because there's stuff that I love that people think is just trash noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. Absolutely.
And I think Morgoth was really essential for me, anyway. You know. With being like, okay, I know you're not afraid to try stuff, but let's take it a little bit further and see really where we can get it, you know?
That's right. Well, yeah. People have called it arena black metal, so take that as you will, all right?
That is, we love that.
You've got some great guests on this record too. Everyone from Alex Terrible, Slaughter Prevail, Taylor Barber, but the legend, Howard Jones.
Yeah.
What was it like working with Howard? I love Howard.
Very much a holy shit, this is really happening thing, right? You know, like, you know, what can you say? It's just one of those moments, especially after leaving music, that I never thought I would ever have. I never thought I'd have legends on anything I've been a part of, you know? So when I found out he was interested and whatnot, it kind of took me by shock, and I had to sit down and I'm like, oh my God, like I used to practice his stuff, you know?
Oh yeah.
My family would go out on Saturdays on their errands and stuff, and I would stay at home, and they had one of those big disc changer CD changers with, like, you know, 200, it's like a carousel.
I would
put it on and crank Killswitch, you know, and as well as others, and just scream and sing and learn how to do it. And then to have him text me how excited and thank me for having him on the album. It's just one of those moments where you're like, holy shit, everything's come full circle. You know,
I love it. It's a beautiful thing though. Like, I just love those kind of stories.
Plus he made the song so much better. It's incredible. His melody. Oh my God. He just went in and did that. And we were like, okay, yeah, we everything you do is great, King.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, some of those guys, they come from that era. Like, even Blood Has Been Shed was a great band. And like, and he sounds great on those records. And you know, that was like one take, you know, like back in 99 or whenever he recorded that, you know, it's like these guys just so much talent, you know?
100%. I feel like everything Howard touches is just gold. He's just one of those people, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, he's just from a different era, I think, you know. Not that people now don't have that as well, because I'm blown away every day by people, but
yep.
There's just something so classic about Howard, I think, you know. Just a powerhouse in every way.
I couldn't agree more, man. So one of the things, well, the reason we're talking basically is to promote your tour coming up. Big tour, co-headlining with Mental Cruelty, also with Ghost Bath and a band from Belarus called Extermination Dismemberment. Love that name.
Yeah. Kicking amazing off, band.
I haven't heard them. I'm going to check them out.
Dude,
never incredible. Hear about bands from Belarus. That's for sure. That's rare. Tour kicks off February 7th at the Nile Theater in Mesa, Arizona. It's a big one. Lots of dates, full US, a couple Canadian shows too. Toronto, Montreal. Are you excited?
I'm beyond excited. We took a little break, cause we were just going super hard. So we took a little bit of time off, you know, so I could just come home, enjoy time with my family, get my head right, all that kind of stuff. And I'm beyond excited that this is the first one back. You know, these bands are amazing. So very happy. And I think this tour has a little bit of everything for all of the listeners, you know. You have your haters who are like, oh, you know, you're trying to be black metal, blah, blah. So we're bringing a black metal band on tour. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or you're not heavy enough. So we're bringing a slam metal band, Extermination Dismemberment, who is incredible, you know, or you're not doing black and deathcore correctly, whatever. So we're bringing Mental Cruelty, who is in just insane. The last album and the album before are just ridiculous, you know? So I think this tour has something for everybody. And even if people don't like us and don't whatever, I still want them to come out to check it out, because if they don't like us, they're guaranteed to like one of these bands. You know, I wanted to have all of us wanted to have something for everybody, you know?
No, it's completely get it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I think, like, you know, speaking from experience, like, I'm in a band that's not easy to really pigeonhole either, you know, like you can call us an emo band, but like, we don't sound like, I don't know, Dashboard Confessional, really. You know what I mean? Like, we have screaming, you know? Yep. So that doesn't work, right? It's like, and I know it's the same, it can be the same in metal too, right? But like, at the same time, a lot of people that own Silverstein Records own Dashboard Confessional Records, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that own your, you know, your first record are into all different kinds of metal. So I think it's great to have some diversity and just put bands on your tour that kick ass. And that's all that really matters, I think.
Yeah. I, like I was saying earlier, I enjoy music in general, man. Like I'll listen to the, you know, I listen to Sugaros, you know what I mean? Or like I listen to the chillest, softest stuff, or then I listen to the heaviest, gnarliest stuff and everything in between, you know what I mean? Yeah. And obviously this is a metal tour, right? So it's a little different. We're going to have different types of metal, right? But like, I think all of these bands bring a different side of metal, you know, to it. And I think all the fans of these bands are going to really enjoy this tour. You know, we're all very excited to come and perform and just try our best to annihilate every night, you know?
I love that. Yes. No, I'm looking at the dates. You said you like cold weather, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So you're about to be tested, my friend.
Oh, I'm very excited.
February 21st, Toronto. What else is here? February 22nd, Detroit. 25th, Chicago. Yeah, that's going to be cold, dude.
The coldest I've been in was in Windsor, Canada.
I used to live there.
It was negative 40.
You know, and Windsor's one of the warmest cities in Canada, actually, because it's the most southern. So that's funny. But yeah, man, like, oh yeah, you go to like Edmonton or maybe Calgary.
It was negative 40, and I was told that's where Celsius and Fahrenheit meet.
Oh, I bet you mean Winnipeg. I'm sure that's what you mean.
Or maybe it was Winnipeg. Yeah. That was back in the Suffocate days, so maybe it was Winnipeg.
Yep.
And yeah, it was, I stupidly went outside after playing and inhaled, and the pain that I felt inside of my lungs was I think I was sick for the next 2 weeks on tour.
it's hard, man. Canadian winter touring, we've done it a lot. It is not easy. So yeah, bring a fucking coat, dude.
I love Canada though, man. Like I think our Montreal show, I think it's the Montreal one, is the fastest selling of tour so far.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure that one's, if it hasn't yet, it's going to sell out fast.
They love their metal in Montreal, man. They love it. Yeah. Cryptopsy paved the way.
Oh man. I did, what's the name of the podcast I did? For the singer for Cryptopsy.
Oh yeah. He's got a podcast. That's right. I was supposed to do it.
Vox and Hops. Great guy. Love that dude. Love that band. It was so fun. You know what I mean? I love doing these. All you guys are rad. I feel so honored to be on these, you know what I mean? The fact that anybody wants to hear me talk about anything is always a win.
No, Bradley and I, your manager and I have been trying to set this up for a while actually, but I think this is the perfect time to talk. So I'm glad we're doing this. Before I forget, I also want to mention to people, there's going to be a new song coming out. It's coming out tomorrow, which is the 17th, but by the time this is up, it will be out, very out. Hive Mind, which features Lucas of Mental Cruelty. And this was a B-side? How did this happen?
So,
great song.
In true, you know, musician fashion, you overwrite, if you will. You write as many songs as you possibly can, and you pick the quote best ones, and you know, some people think they're B-sides, some people don't, blah blah blah. I all of the songs that we wrote for this album I enjoyed. So I don't really think anything's a B-side. I love them all.
Right.
So I'm very excited to get this one out because, you know, we decided that this one was good enough to stand on its own as well, you know? So it's plus you gotta keep the audience waiting a bit and you know, surprise them with things here and there.
No, it's great. Right. I this didn't sound like this sounded like it could have been, you know, track four or something on the record. Like it goes hard and yeah, it's great tune. So everyone needs to check that out. Hive Mind out now and then get your tickets for the tour, especially if you live in Montreal, because those are probably going to be gone by the time this is out.
We also have VIP packages as well that I know myself included as well as all the other guys. We want to buy some of the VIP packages for ourselves because all the cool stuff, you know. Yeah, you know, it's a meet and greet with us and Mental Cruelty as well. And you know, you get this rad drawstring bag. You get a signed poster. You get a prayer candle with the tour art on it. You get this awesome pin. You get a tour pass laminate and lanyard with all the art on it as well. And these are nice tour passes. They're collector's editions. And
nice.
I think I'm forgetting, I might be forgetting one or two of the other things that comes with it, but like this VIP package is amazing.
Where can people check it out? You got a website or something to
beyondtheeternal.com, just the name of the tour.
Gotcha. Okay. Beyondtheeternal.com. Perfect. But no bath bombs, huh?
I know.
I
want to make more bath bombs. I don't know if you saw the TikTok video we did about that. Speaking of TikTok, you know, we did a funny video where there's a part in one of our songs called "Bathe in the Flame" where I do like a monster noise or whatever because those are all the rage now. And coming out of the tub that we use the bath bomb in, and it's super funny. You know, I love those because the song's called "Bathe in the Flame" and they look like little flames and whatnot. I don't know if we'll be making more of those. They did sell really well, if I remember correctly. People we tour with were like, "What the hell? You've never seen a metal band do bath bombs?" You know,
so, that's why it's great. But I agree. I love it so much. I think it's fantastic.
We're trying to, you know, break the mold a little here.
Yes. No. I don't. I don't have TikTok. I watch TikTok videos on Instagram like a real adult.
You know, I do have a TikTok, but it's funny because people don't realize that TikTok is now the better source of education than YouTube because people have to make these videos fast and they have to give you all the facts that they can, you know?
Right.
So all my TikTok, like when I go on TikTok, I have like history, theology, mythology, biology, you know, all your ologies essentially. I like to use it to learn. So it's archaeology, anthropology, all that stuff. So there is good information on TikTok, not just the dance and
Okay.
Funny stuff.
TikTok for good. Someone needs to start a blog that's like TikTok for good, that just has links to like all the actual good shit on there and not all the absolute trash, which is probably 99% of it.
I mean, plus it's, you know, it's one of the fastest growing and best places to get your music heard and out there, because, you know, it's such a popular thing now that when people put tracks up there, they go off. You know what I mean? It spreads everywhere because people can use it, you know?
Yep. I love it, man. I really respect what you guys are doing and getting your music out there, and, you know, I was going to say doing the Lord's work. that's the wrong, definitely the wrong expression. No, you're doing, you know, I think a great service to extreme metal right now, paving the way for a lot of other artists. And I think this tour, I was going to say it's just a start, but I mean, it's, you guys have already been killing it. So it's great to see.
Well, that's you know, high praise coming from you. I really do appreciate it. And like I said, you know, the wife and I have been fans. So it's nice. When I got the chance to do the podcast, I was very, very excited. So
sweet, man. Well, I'm really, really happy to have you. I got a couple more questions. I wanted to ask you about what it was like for 6-year-old Grayson to have, he likes you guys so much that he had his 6th birthday party, an Of Sulfur themed birthday party, including an Of Sulfur cake with your face on it.
That was a trip, you know. That's that's our friend Liz and Chris, you know, and our kids are all friends and whatnot. But yeah, that dude's awesome, man. He loves us, and you know, it's cool because I get people sending me videos of their kids singing our songs, like my buddy Chris, and I got a lot of them. But like Grayson is all about it. He wanted everything Of Sulfur for his birthday. It was a trip, and I went there and I saw all of our faces on the cake, and I got to eat a piece of one of my members, which was funny.
Right.
You know, and it was awesome. It was really cool. You know, he's seen us play live and stuff, and my kids are my kids as well. Whenever we drive anywhere, they want to listen to the songs and sing them, which is a trip to hear a, you know, 8-year-old and a 4-year-old singing and screaming metal. So, as well as singing parts, you know.
I love it. Yes. No. Coming soon, Of Sulfur Lullaby Edition.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I would love it. Yeah. Anyway, I can piss off the metal elitist people. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah. No, that'll really do it. Mm-hmm. Well, dude, thank you so much for doing this. I've got Lucas from Mental Cruelty on the podcast tomorrow. So we're going to kind of do a back-to-back with you guys. What should I ask him? Got anything I should ask him or mention to him?
Let's see. I would say ask him how he makes all those badass noises, because he's very talented. He's very, very good singer.
All right, I'm writing it in my notes. Badass noises. There we go.
You know, and I mean, it was awesome to have him on Hive Mind as well. He killed it. So, you know,
absolutely.
And I just very excited to tour with him and all the mental dudes, you know? So
absolutely. Ricky, thank you so much for taking the time talking to me this morning. Sorry about my lateness earlier.
Oh, not at all. All good.
Anything else to tell the people before I let you go and I leave them with a tune?
Just come out to the tour, hang out. You know, we want to see all you guys rocking out in the crowd and headbanging and moshing and all that stuff. It's a great tour, and I hope to meet you all. And I appreciate you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, here it is. Hive Mind, Of Sulfur featuring Lucas of Mental Cruelty on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
So there is new music from Of Sulfur featuring Lucas of Mental Cruelty, Hive Mind, The Epic, an epic, epic track. Yeah, you got to get into Of Sulfur if you haven't already. Go check out their record, The Burden of Faith. I think I called it The Burden of Fate, which, yeah, fuck me. Great record, great band. Go see them on tour. And I really do appreciate Ricky coming on the program again. Hanging out with me and, you know, just talking about all things Of Sulfur, all things metal, and a few things Satan. It was a lot of fun. Thanks again, Ricky. Thanks again, Bradley. Next week, I'm going to be back with more metal. That's right. Lucas of Mental Cruelty will be on the program. I'm excited. I haven't talked to him yet as of recording this, so I'm excited to speak with him. What a band. And yeah, they're on that tour too. So go get your tickets right now. I think I'm going to leave you with another tune. What do you think? I think it's time. Here it is. The most brutal song from the band yet. Stained in Rot of Sulfur on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next week.